الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله
logical that whoever created us must have
one of these, or at least, as much of it as we. If our Creator is intelligent, and we know that purposelessness, doing things without a purpose, is not only cheating, but also crazy, then it's only a logical consequence of belief in the existence of a Creator that there will not be a purpose of creation. But thank you. There were people at one time in history who were illogical. Put in order to affirm the existence of creation or deny that he had a problem in creation. They were both uncharitable people of God. These were the Arabs of the days of the prophet. The Quran tells us that they were compliant not because they denied that they were seated at Allah. They did acknowledge that Allah created them, but they doubted that there would be anything called resurrection because they didn't understand there was any problem. And that way, when I think about the outcome of the man, how about the man who was out of the way of moving from God? If you were to ask them, who created the heavens and the earth, will answer Allah. And that way, as I said, we had never had a lot of people who had nothing to do in Arab. وَعَلْمُنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُجْعُونَ. She then thinks that we have created you for free and amusement for no purpose and that you will not be cured for us. So, Allah is said to them as to fire. Despite their believing in the existence of Allah, but their lack of appreciation of the problem of creation makes them far. Which means then that acknowledging that Allah exists alone does not make anyone of us believe. It is just the first step. So what comes after that to make you a Muslim is to acknowledge that he has a problem for his years. And then align your own desires, your wishes, your will with the desire of the Almighty Creator in full of wishes of will. It is then you become a Muslim. The problem for which the Almighty created you and me is clearly pushed out in the Quran in several chapters. Now, once you decide all of them, and that way, Baba has led you to the Muslims. Wahu ala kulli shay'in qadeer. Glory be to Allah, in whose hand is the dominion. Wahu ala kulli shay'in qadeer, and it has might over all things. Let me put you to think why we are here. الذي خلق الحياة والموت الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن معاملة. من الله who created life and death to help you, each of you, human, death is deep. So, the purpose of our being here is that we are here as candidates in a lifelong examination, at the end of which we get our God, and that is our death. So we are here for a test of not who we do the most deed, but who we do the best deed. As you ask the Muhammad, who is the best in doing righteous deeds? the common of this year. Then we understand many different topics with the intention of carrying a large reward for them. This is what is now defined as an entire worship. As opposed to what comes to the mind of the ordinary man, that when you talk of worship, you are talking of spiritual acts, which have nothing to do with the temporal day-to-day activity of humans. Islam defines it as the desire to seek Allah's pleasure in acts done by Him, but which must be guided by certain principles. One, that Allah the Almighty is the one whose pleasure we seek in that which we do as an act of worship. And two, that we do that act in accordance with His instruction. And three, of course, that the person doing that act of worship, is believer in Allah. So these three ingredients must be present in any act before it is called ibadah, worship in Islam. Each one of them requires a little bit of explanation. Believing in Allah means acknowledging that He exists. Having information about Him, knowing Him the way He has revealed Himself to humans, meaning that it is not belief in Him, it is belief in existence. But ascribe to Him attributes contrary to what you have revealed about Himself. I just mentioned that the Arabs never denied the existence. But they still have begun who Allah is, what are His attributes. So in other words, who affirms the existence of Allah, but seek to describe Him according to the statement of his own mind. So we know Allah through what has revealed us. In the Quran and the Sunnah, the practice and training of the Holy Messenger from the Allah wise. Then, after recognizing with his names and attributes, the things that would constitute the desire have to be done only for his own sake. He says, "Man amila amalan ashbata fihi ghayri ma'i taraktuhu wa shirka." If any human desires to do a thing as an act of worship for me and Allah, or then choose to take a partner with me in that act, any other being, I abandon that act to him and that which I have treated him with. Meaning that the act of ibadah, that act of worship, has to be done solely with the aim of earning Allah's pleasure and reward. Secondly, the act must not be made solely on we having set up on it with a clear intention. It has to be in emulation of what the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recommended for and acceptable to Allah. If it is not, decide your being a Muslim and setting out on a good intention, it may be rejected by Allah. As a matter of fact, it is certain to be rejected by Allah. This is what the Messenger of Allah meant when he said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna wa huwa rad." Whoever does anything, even if in the name and intention of worshiping Allah, It is not in accordance with what Allah revealed, which I convey to you, which is rejected by Allah. So, my brothers and sisters in the name of Allah, if this is the concept of worship, what are its bounds? People try to talk about the worship with the temporal, day-to-day activities of human. In Islam, the definition of worship, which I just laid down, transcends mere spiritual and monumental acts of bowing, for speaking, and for that. It goes beyond that to touch on all temporal, day-to-day, mundane activities engaged in by humans. As long as they engage in those things, bearing in mind that they seek Allah's pleasure in them by conforming to his instructions regarding how to do them or not to do them. And provided that they simply do them to seek Allah's pleasure. So, our daily routine, as far as Muslims are concerned, are not a no-go area for Islam. The totality of what we do in our lives can be accurate that if the person doing them understands that the scope of the ibadah encompasses everything we do in life. It is not for a Muslim to say that something belongs to God and another belongs to Jesus. Allah says, "Kul inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alamin." Say to them, tell them, my life, my salah, my prayer, all my acts of devotion, in fact, the entirety of my life and death belongs to Allah. So, if until now you always view regard as something restricted to what you do within the world of magic, at Islamic gathering, and the like, extend it to the entirety of your life. Nothing should be excluded from regard as defined by Islam. What is the relationship between ibadah and marriage? Ordinarily, we understand marriage to be the coming together to be linked to the husband and wife. However, it is that the philosophy by which both forms of marriage live is too little or no little for marriage as an act of worship. Marriage as an act of worship is very, very strange in ordinary human terminology. Islam is the one. Is the deed that claims your marriage is part of marriage, part of regard, part of worship of Allah. Over the years, we noticed that the influence of Western civilization and culture, which claims the spreading what they call personal liberty, freedom of expression, freedom of sexual expression, the empowerment of women and liberation, and what have you, and what they have done to extend questionable and even objectionable by Muslim standards. The influence of this Western civilization has eroded the traditional value of marriage in many parts of the world. كل ما تقول عليه إذا رحنا واشمي procreation after outside marriage living as a single parent these things no longer sound acceptable to them. They can't quite normal on the and the high flowers. As a matter of fact, the personal development has reached a point where they don't see anything as normal in single or same-sex marriage. This idea, which is begging for acceptance in our land here now, may Allah forgive us, emanates from the fact that the Western world does not see marriage as an act of the divine that has to be conducted in accordance with any divine description. You can, incidentally, don't be in an isolated world. We are influenced by the environment around us. The unfortunate thing that has happened to us, therefore, is that we have been heavily influenced by their own godless ideology. So much so that we can't construct marriage in our own but it has lost, for the most part, its Islamic element in it. Our marriages have been reduced to something similar to the near social, cultural thing I referred to the other night. It is no longer marriage between people whom Allah has revealed for good works, people whom Allah has given detail to be very minute about what to do, what not to do in marriage. So we continue to contact marriage, but our marriage are no longer what they ought to be for Muslims. And we are victims of the outcomes of this treatment of priority. In other words, marriage in Islam is so sacred that Allah the Almighty refers to one of the main properties of ordaining marriage in the Quran book. For this ayah to be and call up the women from the topic of the world in the one of the signs of coming to mankind is that he's treated for you, companions of your own type, that you may find tranquility and peace in them. So one of the main purposes of marriage is that the two partners find joy, peace of mind, and tranquility. Another Almighty then sent the Holy Prophet from the Maharaj of the Lord to give us details of what a Muslim marriage should involve. The Prophet, first of all, tells us that marriage in Islam is not only a part of the Ibadah, it forms half of what the Ibadah of a Muslim has heard. إذا تزوج المرء فقد استكمل نصف الدين فليتق الله في المثل الباقي. If a Muslim marries and is successful in his marriage, then he has perfected half of the ibadah of the worship for which Allah created him. At first, one would not need to reconcile oneself in this hadith, how does marriage alone pay 50% of what we're supposed to be next year? But the original coverage will admit to you that, yes, a lot of the virtues that Islam enjoins, chastity, maintaining time of kinship, you can your faith now and what you do. A lot of days are best as Christians when you have the entire blessing for your mouth. Let me read this as follows. However much a man desires to retain his authorship, if you have a wife who claims to see a parasitic and not helping, if a man desires to see halal income, halal customer, and you have a wife who is ever reminding you that his family has given the 10 houses, each set of houses with money, and God help me. However much a man wants to change, if you have a wife, when she has when and whether she's been willing to give, then there is no way in what you push people from the contemplation. So what does that mean about from the Bible? Because I'm said, when he said that success in marriage is success with half of your being, what he meant by that was this: that if you have a God-fearing woman or a God-fearing husband that assists you in obeying Allah, it makes obedience to Allah in all other aspects of life easy for you to achieve. So whatever is not married yet, let them work out for this. But marriage is an endeavor, and we need a companion to assist us to make the most of it. In addition to this, one would observe that even a successful marriage, not to fall off, and not successful one, even a successful marriage comes with a lot of trials, a lot of future experiences, often avoidable, that couples have to go through. These bitter experiences of life that come with marriage are difficult to bear, except for those who feel marriage as a thing we do here for the sake of the hereafter. They are difficult to patiently go through, except for one who thinks and into marriage to seek the grace and pleasure of the Almighty as well. For all of this, the idea of marriage as an act of worship is reflected in many of the instructions given us by the Messenger of Allah concerning how to conduct or not to conduct ourselves in marriage. Let's examine a few of them. First of all, as we get what qualities to seek for in a prospective spouse? Ordinarily, beauty, wealth, lining, social standing, all these attractions tend to bind couples together. But the fact is, there are good qualities which with the passage of time, they say, what they do, what they say, so Peter 2 is very revealing about marriage. And then couples begin to realize for the first time how much they are incompatible. This is why the Messenger of God recognizes that when all things say, there is one quality that will keep the couple together, and that is the desire to seek and pleasure in marriage with one of that one power. The desire to seek Allah's grace, to act in that marriage as if one ruler in one corner or in one party, that we do anything to any other pleasure. It is such desire when brought into marriage that makes it easy for a man to give life to his wife, to be fair and talk to her, even when he knows she no longer deserves it. The Lord has made it. All that was written yesterday has come to pleasure. Yet, the man manages. He compels himself to be fair to her because he sees it as an act of desire and the same law of the wife. If this ingredient, taking a lot of pleasure in marriage, when it once is lost, if it can no longer be done, then the only recommendation that for such a couple is that they go around. And this is why the prophet says, when you seek a woman for marriage, usually people seek women for marriage for many things. And he mentioned among them four. He said, who can do that after the other? The Marina, the Hapadina, the Gemarina, or the Dina? Not for her money, her wealth, or the wealth of the family. It could be for her beauty. If it is not for that, it could be for her lineage, because of the respectable family that work with you. And then, of course, some doing for the deed, because she's married. Now, having mentioned the four things on which people usually going to marriage, he said, when that is the key, pray with the last. I recommend that to be a woman who is pious with God's service. I recommend it. It's very different. You may realize that all the other qualities, beauty, wealth, a good language, all of them are double-edged weapons. Whatever has them, except piety, we put them to the best use, to the detriment of the husband. If a woman is pretty, wealthy, and from a respectable marriage, but lacks the fear of love, all these inequalities become a weapon to the husband. The same goes for the man. If he has the best of those qualities, minor. The fear of love, then there is nothing there. And this explains why the varieties of many celebrities in women's society is crashing almost as soon as you are attracted. Because piety was never completely lost in their varieties. So, you see that having mentioned the things for which people go for women, the prophet emphasized the truth, piety. To tell you, this is an act of desire. Worship. Not only that, if you look at the previous list on Turkey by Islam and the recommendation for maintaining Turkey, you then realize that Turkey is viewed by Islam as not just honor, but the quality of high fear. Don't want to say that Allah the Almighty describes Maria, the mother of Isa, and the Prophet of Islam. It was her justice which Allah implied her with as a man of honor. Whatever he was not in Iran, and let me ask for that for you. Maria, the daughter of Iran, who protected her children. The world has gone so bad that for the zero communicable diseases like AIDS, many people will not need charity as a virtue for money. But if not saying it is a virtue, maintaining it as a matter of fact is one of the keys to the gift of agenda. The prophet says, in the time, in the center, two qualities من الجنة في تطبيق التوحيد. مثال: من حفر ما بين تحليله ورجليه دخل الجنة. مين مبتدئ بحث الله قد كنت بين الكوتشي عن يسوع بين كوتشي الإسلام against you, protect the private part against you, he would not be, he says, Allah the Almighty with the promise that as Jannah becomes easy for you. However, the sexual instinct is so strong that it's not even outlet. It has dire consequences on the psychological balance of the human being, especially men. And this is why Allah the Almighty, who resists and engages in goodness, extra marital activities, has prepared solutions to this when he encourages us to marry and settle down in life. Being married not as a burden as many young people of this age are want to be married, but as an act of meeting nearness to Allah. Allah says, for an issue I am a man, for so many divided in one by a people. Give up the marriage, the people want to know. Even the male and female slaves that you possess, the slaves, in the society, should all be encouraged and assisted to get married. Of course, financial responsibility comes with marriage. Allah is not unaware of this. For a situation that even they should be encouraged to settle down, and place that we know them, don't own property. They are themselves someone's property. Allah gave guarantees, but he would protect chastity by getting married is assured of other people. He says, if you are called to go for Allah, you will be perfect. Even if they are called, Allah makes a pledge to make them sufficient from the family. You have a lot. All of this is because Islam wants us to view marriage as an act of worship that should be encouraged and that should be done in accordance with the instruction of the Almighty Allah. So I want to make a family appeal here. So those of us who are parents, who may have children who are either attaining or approaching marriageable age, that the world of today gives no value to marriage. So much so that if a youth happens to have this religious condition, such that he cannot engage in extramarital things that people of his peers do, which relieves their pressure, when youths have such strong religious conditions, they may appear to be more in a hurry to settle down to get married. And the nature of parents in our environment is to see such youth as being ambitionless. Yes, just on that of the fear that your peers are doing the PhD, what to do, you are here with the certificate of potential. But you see, the truth is this: the more that the person understands the purpose of this fear here, and the person appreciates that the relationship is around here, you can't do things the way other people do that, no matter the level of education. So when we have you, who seems to be to view marriage from this perspective, because they can't engage in all those things their peers engage in, and then the parents are people of us, that you should just allow for what can bless you with. Be as much of a support as you can to that problem of you. I am not giving a license to our youth to be still responsible, but I just want to appreciate that some of these things that drive them derive from their understanding that marriage is an act of worship, and the only thing recommended by Allah to protect their chastity. Nghe phong mặt của bí sở, thì thả lạ. Nghe phong mặt của bí sở, thì thả lạ. Ôn nên sẽ recommend cho tổ lý, thì thả lạ. Thế đâu cũng có. Chú, có đá, anh có dài, và tiếp năm tiêu, mà lại, anh có là, không có thả tổ lý, in some religion, sexual intercourse is considered filthy, dirty, devilish. So much for us, they only commit their fellow citizens as a necessity for procreation, no more. It sounds different.